begin, Mr. Ferris. So I call the meeting of the Yolo County Transportation District Board of Directors for December 13th to order. And just pursuant to Government Code Section 54956, subsection 1, we're meeting via teleconference. This is consistent. We'll be considering as a part of our consent agenda the specific language regarding the authorization for that. It's a pursuit continuing the executive order through legislative action. We do allow and encourage people to communicate with us through a remote public comment, and we also accept written comments that have been provided to us. So if you want to submit written comments in writing, email ksouza@yctd.org. And those comments that were received as of 4 o'clock this afternoon, we will be including in advance and made a part of the record of this meeting. I believe that we have a quorum, but Autumn, would you have the clerk call roll to make sure that we have a quorum to begin?
Yep, go ahead, Kathy.
City of Davis?
I am here.
City of West Sacramento?
Here.
City of Winters?
Here.
City of Woodland?
Thomas, oh, he was here. Maybe he's...
He escaped.
Okay.
Yolo County?
Here.
UC Davis?
Here.
Caltrans District 3?
Here.
Great. Very good. Thank you all for being with us this evening. We have an agenda before us. Autumn, are there any changes you'd suggest to the agenda?
No changes to the agenda. I will just note that there is a very long list of items on consent calendar, and I'm happy to, you know, entertain any interest from the board in pulling any of those items off consent calendar at your discretion.
Okay. And we can do that now or at the time we take up the consent calendar anyway. Is there a member of the board who'd like to move approval of the agenda?
Moved by Ferrex.
Second by Ledesma.
So we have a motion by Ferrex, a second by Ledesma to approve the agenda. Is there any comment on it, or shall we go ahead and vote? Okay, let's take roll, please, Kathy.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland? Hasn't come back yet.
Okay.
Yolo County?
Aye. Okay, we have approval of the agenda. We'll proceed. And we will be having a closed session right after public comment on items not on the agenda. We also will have opportunity for people who would like to stay with us and talk to us on items on the agenda. There will be opportunities for public comment on those items before we take action. We ask that people who want to speak to us now to limit their comment to 3 minutes so that we can hear from all who are interested and proceed with the business of the day. We don't typically respond to items that come up because they're not posted and we don't have, it's not fair and it's not legal. So is there anyone who would like to address us in public comment on items not on the agenda?
We do have a request at this, several requests. The first from Mr. Alan Hirsch.
Okay, and Mr. Hirsch, you have 3 minutes to address the board on items not on the agenda.
Thank you very much. I hope you can hear me. Yes.
Yes, we can.
Good.
Thanks,
Alan. Great, very good. First, I want to.
Someone is timing this, I assume.
I am, sir.
First, I want to ask whether the 8 o'clock time will be certain for the other opening of the closed session. I don't want to miss that.
I expect that we'll be here at 7:45, but we will come back.
7:45, very good. Okay, very good.
Alan, excuse me. We'll come back as soon as we're finished with closed session.
Well, it's usually both courtesy if you want public involvement to be. Commit to the time so people don't miss the chance to comment on particular issues.
Stay tuned then because we'll be coming back.
Stay around with a closed screen for 45 minutes. Okay. Thank you very much. I understand the way the public involvement is treated here. Most of the city's favorites basically has a closed session before it opens up public comment. So thank you very much for clarifying that.
Right.
I hope I presented some slides to you. The public can't see them. about the right to present PowerPoint slides. A picture is worth 1,000 words, and presenting some materials cannot be really presented unless they're presented visually. And unless everyone has them open in front of you, which I doubt, or I can't describe and control what you're doing, it's very important that I control the visual thing, and I'm not able to. So I suggest that, and also in the quasi-judicial role that the board has present under the state law, you need to provide equal access to everyone to present different issues so the board can decide. Everyone has the same right to present evidence. So staff, which has a position, but other people, other interests can be fed. If you've really proven to deserve a diversity, everyone should have equal access to the public forum that the board presents. And I think PowerPoint slides, everyone have access, is important to that. I also think it's very important for building trust in government. Very important. And that's very fragile these days. Extremely fragile. If we can plan a coup with PowerPoints, why can't I present public comment slides? So one, that's the second slide I have for you to, is the slide where the League of Cattle Studies weighs in whether there is a public right under the Brown Act to present PowerPoint slides to the commissions. And it says, ask in the Q&A, must the legislation body allow members of the public to show videos or make PowerPoint presentations during the public comment period of the agenda? Answer, probably.
And Director Schoener, 2 minutes have elapsed.
All right. Alan, thank you for your comment.
2 minutes? I thought I had 3 minutes.
Well, you had three minutes. We set it for two, but you spoke more than 2 minutes. So let's allow 3 minutes for the public comment. So please set the timer at three. And Mr. Hirsch, you did have 3 minutes. That's why I didn't stop you when the 2 minute clock expired. Mr. Streeter, you're here with us. You have 3 minutes to share your comments with us, please.
Yes, good evening. I hadn't listened in on one of your meetings before, but have paid attention through the Citizens Advisory Committee for YCTD. I shared some information about the Davis Migrant Center with Director Ferrix on Friday night. And one thing that I will be talking to you, Chair Saylor, and maybe your colleague, Mr. Provenza, is the road conditions out to that location, particularly from the 20-mile-per-hour curve near Road 104 to 105. There's some significant potholes, and you may have had a conversation about this with Autumn last week, but that's a constraint we're facing right now. And of course, with the rains, there's significant flooding along the Mesa Boulevard as well. So I and some others from Heart of Davis and Respite Center will be contacting Director of Public Works and see what might be done to fix those potholes.
Steve, thank you for bringing that to our attention. And that is that will be something that Jim and I will talk about and see what.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you bringing it up. Okay, are there any other public comments?
Not at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Hope, we're about to recess into closed session. If we're finished with that before 7:45, are we permitted to come back into open session?
Yes, Mr. Chair, those are only estimated times that we put on the agenda out of courtesy for the public. The board is free to come back at any point in which the closed session has ended. The other clarification I'd like to make, and this is an error on my part, is that this closed session is being held pursuant to the anticipation of litigation, not the initiation of litigation. And that's a word error on my part, and I apologize.
Okay, very good. We'll recess into closed session then. And do the members of the board need to, I think we need to leave this meeting and sign on to a different meeting ID, correct?
Yes, please. And it should be in your calendars, at 7:15.
All right. So let's go ahead and do that. And I'll see you all on the other side. Okay. All right. Are we, we're coming back from closed session and we'll soon have everyone back. All right. Looks like we're back. Mr. Ledesma is coming in. There he is. Very good. So the board is reconvening an open session. Hope, is there anything to report out of this closed session?
No, Chair, there is nothing to report out of closed session.
All right. So that brings us then to the consent calendar and items 5A through the alphabet through 5L. Autumn, do you have anything you'd like to remove from the consent agenda?
No, Mr. Chair, not at this time.
Does any member of the board care to remove any item for further discussion or question?
I'm prepared to move the consent calendar, items 5A through 5L.
Great. Lauren will second that motion.
Great, thank you. So we have a motion from Frerix and a second by Lauren. Is there any member of the public who would like to address anything on the consent agenda?
We do not have any requests at this time.
All right, very good. So, Kathy, are you there? Would you call the, yes, you are. Would you call the roll on the motion by Frerix and second by Laura?
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
Yolo County?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, everybody. And very significant actions to set our human resources arena in good order. We're now moving to, and notice that we also have our calendar for meetings for the coming year and the designation of holidays that will be recognized with leave for the employees of the agency. We're now to item 6. This is board member reports, announcements, other nominations and presentations. We have two items noted specifically for updates. Director Ledesma, would you like to make any brief comments on the item ad hoc committee on AD management?
Sure. The subcommittee met, I'm sorry, let me go to my other screen. We met on Wednesday, December 1st. Myself and Chair Saylor, along with Autumn, met with representatives from Caltrans as well as SACOG. Thanks to our staff for putting together an agenda with us, but we discussed some of the draft goals that we had articulated, many, all of which were kind of driven from the discussions we had as a board. We also had a discussion of the project scope about what's in, what's out. I think that led to some further discussion about what the further work we need to do as a committee, and set the scope. That those two items alone took up a majority of the time. I get into the specifics with Caltrans about where exactly we were. But it did lead to us to what we need to discuss in further discussions. So I think there's some follow-up. I think we're going to talk a little bit later about the draft goals, so I don't want to take too much time with it there, but I want to say thanks to staff for organizing and pulling the meeting together. I think it was a first really good step so that there was a full dialogue between all the pertinent parties involved. So thanks.
Great. Thank you. Nice update. Tom Stallard, do you like to share some information about the Woodland Microtransit effort?
Yes, Mr. Chair and members and attendees. Woodland, as you know, is working to put together a point-to-point transit system in the community, not unlike the one that West Sacramento pioneered 2 or 3 years ago. And to do that, we started with a request for information, which Kristen on our YCTD staff worked in collaboration, thank you, Kristen, with City of Woodland and Spencer Bowen, our communications analyst. And the two of them, we were happy to get 9 different responses. And those responses were quite varied because some of them are actually operators and others are basically software approaches. And so Kristen and Spencer have now, by Zoom, interviewed all 9 of those, from which they've derived information that will help them now to develop an RFP, a request for proposal, which will be more specific to what we feel our needs are. And I think at this point it would be appropriate to ask Kristen if she'd like to expand on my sort of abbreviated comments.
No, I think you hit on all the great points. Just I would reiterate that it was a really helpful process to do the RFI, so I'm glad we took that initial step. And I think it's been really good to jointly work on it with City of Woodland staff so that we're all on the same page and learning the same thing. So thank you to City of Woodland staff for working so closely with us, and we're looking forward to developing the RFP.
Thank you, Chris.
I would just, if I may, I would just like to add, I think in terms of next steps, I think in addition to putting together the RFP, the other step that we have talked about is putting together our district-wide goals for microtransit. So as we think about, you know, this RFI, that we're looking at both the City of Woodland, but also looking at how I think the software piece, looking at how we have a kind of an integrated user platform that is for all of our service areas. So I think it's important that we take that step as well. So I think so that we're not just focused exclusively on the City of Woodland, but really making sure that our overall approach to microtransit is something that the board weighs in on and feels like is beneficial for the district as a whole.
Very good. We're quite comfortable with that at Woodland. Thank you, Don.
Very good. Thank you, Tom and Kristen, Autumn. Are there any other reports or announcements that any member of the board would like to share? Okay, very good. I don't see any. So that brings us then to item 7. And item 7 is an oral update by our TransDev General Manager, Mr. Klein. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Chair Saylor, members of the board. You able to hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Wasn't sure because the light didn't come on. So anyways, I was a little worried about with the holidays coming up and being able to get going the right direction. It's been very positive ever since the change, and with the increase in wages, we have not lost any more operators due to leaving. We have some that's, you know, had issues with medical things like that, but no one's left us. It's got on the positive. We have several that are on the fence are coming back that have left previously to go to other agencies, and they're looking really positive to come back. We've got, I'd probably say just the last 2 weeks alone, about 5 that's come out into service, along with right now we have another 5 that's in different stages of training. We started a class today of 8, which is very good, and we already have a class set up for the 27th, which already have a few lined up for that, and we have interviews still going on throughout the week. So it's looking really positive. Even with the holidays, usually a harder time to get hiring in, but it's looking very good that we're going the right direction that we need to go. So we're going to keep the momentum going. We've reached out and got out as much information we can, and along with the referral bonuses is helping. We're getting a few of those. Even with the new people keep coming in, they seem to be finding out about it, and they're talking to their friends and family and discussing and finding out, you know, that it's a good place to go to work at. And now that we have competitive wages, it makes it even better.
Very good. Thank you, Michael. Anything else?
That's it.
Well, that's very good update. It's very good news. Tom?
I just wondered, we had basically suspended some of our service to accommodate the reduced drivers. I haven't actually heard anything from anybody about any lines we took out for that period of time. I know it was very strategically done. Maybe Autumn needs to comment on this, but where are we? Are we talking about putting those lines back in service, or are some of them perhaps not needed? You can tell us, please.
So I'm happy to answer. I would also invite Jose to speak to this as well. Jose and Daisy have actually been working very diligently on putting together some different scenarios for returning some services and looking at where we would prioritize those return to service once we have the stable workforce that we need to feel confident about bringing those back. So currently, all of those suspensions remain in place, but we are hopeful that we're going to be able to make some of those changes sometime in the coming months. You know, a key factor in that is Unitrans, and we're in close conversation with Unitrans about when they'll be able to take back over their services. We feel pretty confident that the end of winter quarter, beginning of spring quarter, which is around the end of March, beginning of April, we'll be able to pull back some of this of the Unitrans support. I would like to say that we'll be able to do more before then, but at this point, we don't have a date certain for restoring any of those services. Again, we want to be cautious and make sure we don't jump too soon and end up in a situation where we're stretched too thin and are missing trips. Jose, is there anything you'd like to add?
You covered it very, very well, Autumn, and I thank you for that. I would just like to add that again, we are working on making sure that we are ensuring that the new operators who come on board and those who come back are available and are available to us as reliable service. We do not want to reintroduce or unsuspend service and then have to come, retract our rubber band back because we lost more operators. So while we are not going to be artificially delaying the reintroduction or unsuspension of the services, we do want to be sure that we have those resources available to us before we notice it and get it back on the road. And in addition to that, we are going to be, as Autumn mentioned, prioritizing or evaluating each of the individual options for services, including the expansion of the 42, return of some of those commute services independently, and then again as a whole before we make recommendations for the board or to the board about our service plans for the future.
Okay. Good question, Tom. Thank you. Anything further? I think I don't see anybody. I think we're ready to move to item 8, which is the goals for the 80 managed lane project. And Chris mentioned this launch of the ad hoc conversations in the updates. So this is what we see happening is a need for having a fairly clear understanding of what the board's interests are. And in the course of considering how that might be shaped, because it will be some things that happen between now and even the next meeting, and just so that we're all on the same page, it would seem like a pretty reasonable thing to put together a list of kind of broad goals. And as we think about these, Autumn will be presenting her assessment of what those scope goals are. A couple of things that I'd like us to keep in mind. And one is that not every aspect of our vision fits tightly within the road segment that we're dealing with in the I-80 infra grant project. So some aspects of the goals might be subject to other funding sources or other projects that are aligned or aligned or connected to the Interstate 80 managed lane project. So as we think about it, there's also a number of interactions among these goals. And so we're looking to balance and thread the needle and achieve a number of purposes that we'll have to weigh as we move forward. Autumn, I know, will tell us in her presentation how those pieces fit together, as well as what some of the upcoming efforts are going to be where all of this can be materialized. And I'm really excited about this opportunity. And in addition to Chris, of course, Matt Dulcich was a part of our earlier conversation, and he's bringing insights to this. And I just want to make sure that all of the board is heard and the perspectives of each of us are brought into play here. So this is our opportunity to have a group discussion that will help shape the efforts that go forward. And with that, Autumn, hope I didn't disrupt your train of thought. So it's up to you.
Not at all. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks, Jose, for sharing the slide deck. So just as a reminder for members of the public who are joining us, we're talking about the 80 managed lanes project here, or the 80 corridor improvements project, as it's also called, which really goes from the county line in the west to the county line in the east, and includes improvements to the 80 corridor, as well as bicycle and pedestrian improvements along the causeway as well. Next slide. So as Dawn mentioned, we've been kicking around some of these goals, which we thought it was important to bring to the board tonight, again, as a way to sort of frame and focus our conversations with our partners at Caltrans District 3 and SACOG. And so in just a moment, I'll walk through these with you to try to provide a little bit of context. And the action that I'm asking for, that we are asking for tonight, is to, you know, consider these, recommend any changes, and then hopefully, if we can get there, approve these goals so that we can then use that to kind of keep moving forward. And I have another slide where we'll talk about next steps, but and where we're kind of headed from here. In terms of the goals themselves, we've identified seven. The first one, and just taking them from the top left, is really focused on climate and VMT. And so the goal is around to help achieve state and regional climate goals by limiting VMT increases and by maximizing VMT reduction strategies. And the two sides of that, limiting VMT increases and maximizing VMT reduction, really speak to the kind of dual nature of vehicle miles traveled. Whenever you're talking about adding a highway lane, there is an associated increase in vehicle miles traveled with that because of the phenomenon that we call induced demand, that, you know, when there is additional roadway capacity, that encourages some amount of driving. The nature of that lane expansion has a big impact. How that lane is managed has an impact on VMT. So that's when we talk about limiting VMT increases, that's what we're really talking about, is what kind of lane, how are we managing that lane? And then maximizing VMT reduction strategies, that really speaks to what are the other things that we're doing other than just adding lane capacity. That can include increasing the service frequency of transit. It can include, you know, again, bicycle and pedestrian improvements that induce people to bike instead of drive. It could include carpools. It could include van pools. It could include, you know, providing financial incentives for people to take alternative modes. That's when we talk about maximizing VMT reduction strategies. That's the other side of the VMT coin. The second goal is around increasing transit ridership and mode share. This one's pretty straightforward, but of course we are a transit agency, so we'd be excited if this project resulted in more people riding our existing and potentially future buses that go across the causeway. Increasing the safety and ease of bicycle travel on the existing bicycle path, including connecting routes in West Sacramento and Davis. And this is really recognizing that the causeway itself, the bridge, the elevated structure, is just part of that corridor. There's important connections on the west side and the east side to get people to and from key destinations, and that we really ought to be looking at the entirety of that corridor and thinking about how do we make that a really seamless and pleasant and safe trip for people. The fourth goal is around transportation equity. And when we think about equity, it's really, again, it's kind of two sides of a coin. It's minimizing the burdens of a project and maximizing the benefits of the project for low-income communities. And when we look at this corridor and we look at the demographics of this corridor, the concentration of low-income communities is really within the city of West Sacramento. And so taking a close look at how is this project impacting the city of West Sacramento, both in terms of what kinds of negative impacts could there be and what kind of benefits could there be. Of course, we want there to be benefits for all communities on the corridor, but if we're going to look at equity, sometimes that means prioritizing certain places over others and concentrated populations of low-income and disadvantaged people. The fifth goal is around improving traffic flow in the eastbound direction at the Yolo-Solano County line. And this is really in recognition of the fact that there are some unique challenges at the county line, including the fact that it's not only the county line, it's also the Caltrans district boundary, it's also the SACOG MTC boundary, and it's also where the 11380 interchange comes in, and due to the existing design of that interchange creates some challenges. So this is kind of recognizing, it's not to say that we don't want to improve traffic flow everywhere throughout the corridor, but that there's some particular and unique challenges associated with that corner of the project. The sixth goal is around improving traffic flow using intelligent transportation system technologies. So again, recognizing that improving traffic flow is not just about widening highways. It's also about, there's a lot of technologies and other tools that we can use to help traffic move without just widening the highway. And then lastly, establishing a highway management system that can be replicated and integrated region-wide. You know, there is as this board, you are not strangers to SACOG and the MTP's vision about having tolling throughout the region, and the importance of tolling in terms of meeting climate goals and other goals for the MTP. So, you know, if indeed this project does end up moving the direction of a toll lane, ensuring it's happening in a way that is not a one-off, but can be really integrated, I think, both to the east and the west. When we think about Yolo County and the Causeway's unique position as the kind of a bridge between, a literal bridge and a metaphorical bridge between the Bay Area and the Sacramento region. So those are the goals. I think we have one more slide here. I just want to touch on as far as next steps to contextualize. Oh, go back one, please. To contextualize what we want to do with these goals. So we are proposing to hold a board workshop in January, where we can hear from experts and look at case studies to talk about some of the elements of the project, such as, you know, the whole question of different lane management strategies, transit enhancements that are possible, looking at bicycle and pedestrian improvements, and what is the right mix of improvements that is appropriate. The whole question of a flyover or connector lane at the 8050 interchange in West Sacramento, and as well as, you know, the funding opportunities and priorities to complete the project. So we're proposing that the board have that conversation in January to really kind of get more granular and specific about our vision for the lanes. Between now and then, we're going to continue working with Caltrans to, you know, they have, as noted in the staff report, they have slowed down the environmental document in part to give us time to have this conversation and to work with them so that we really come to a project description, a project scope that we feel, you know, reflects the values of this board, reflects the values of Yolo County and our communities. And so the adoption of these goals tonight will help then set the stage for those subsequent conversations with Caltrans and then this board workshop in January, where we can kind of really drill into some of the specific elements of the project. But for tonight, just want to go back to the goals themselves, and just wanted to give you that heads up that, you know, we will have a chance to get into the details and into the weeds of these things. But really the goal for tonight is to have that higher level conversation, you know, about where we're headed. So with that, I would welcome your feedback and questions and comments. And you can go ahead and stop sharing, Jose.
So, and we might want to bring that back up in a minute, but I think one of the key things here is that we are working in partnership. Caltrans came to us and asked us to submit the application for the infra grant, and we're delighted to be able to participate as partners, as regional partners on this project, which is critically important to movement around our region. SACOG has some really good work that's been underway on managed lanes and around our region. And we have some work to do with our neighbors on the Caltrans, the neighboring Caltrans district. So there's a lot of moving pieces, and we can be in a role that our agency, that this agency has not been active in previously. So this is a really interesting opportunity, friends. And what I'd like to ask is, I suspect we have a few people in the public who'd like to address us. What I wonder is if we could, if there anybody who has any clarifying questions on the board, if we can get those out and get answers and then go to public comment and then have a conversation about our interests and direction on the goals. If you'd be willing to confine our first round just to clarifying questions about what you've heard so far, that'd be great. So then we can move into public comment for a minute. Anybody want to begin with any clarifying questions that you have? Okay. I don't see anybody, so that's okay. We can, unless I'm misreading you, you're ready to hear public comment, and then we can get into our directed board discussion. Very good. So let's do that. Is there any member of the public who'd like to address the board on this topic?
We do have one request from Mr. Alan Hirsch.
Okay. Very good. So, Alan, thank you. We ask that you focus on 3 minutes, and we did receive an email from you with some additional information earlier, and that's been shared with the board.
Thank you very much. The most important thing, the second most important thing that we have to deal with as a community, as a nation, as a government, is climate change. It's the second most important thing. And anything that moves us away from saving the earth is a problem. And I see in these goals that basically we have half a goal about induced demand and reducing. We need to reduce our VMT, not just minimize the increase. We need to reduce them because the state goal is a 20% reduction. Anything that moves us, increases it, moves us along the wrong direction. So I'm quite concerned that we have two goals, and we have two goals that basically move us in the wrong direction. We basically improve traffic flow. Improve traffic flow encourages more driving. You have two goals that basically say that's the problem. I would suggest it is almost better to set this money afire than to improve traffic flow and increase driving, because that is pretty critical. And I know you say you're going to increase transit, but I don't see you're going to improve traffic flow at the Solano border. Who's going to put the buses on that crossing that border? The Solano Transit District is not involved with your discussion here. Who's going to inhabit those extra bus lanes? You're building the bus lanes, and they're theoretically going to be used for HOV lanes. That's the way it's written. It's already being there. And you should have a discussion about this thing. You may decide that traffic flow is the best thing to do, but that should be a public discussion, because this is our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. This is the people that are being involved with decisions being made here, and they should be involved with it. They shouldn't be in a meeting that's decided quietly by a few people in a secret meeting that the public can't even share the slides with. You have one slide here that you've shared with the public. This is too important a decision to be shared quietly and decided in a meeting that nobody knows about. And the workshop should be open. There should be public, should be able to present material equally with Caltrans. We should have an open discussion about things. This is pretty important. This is very important. And I said this is the second most important thing. The most important thing is trust in our government. And I have purposely not raised the alarm on this thing, because basically this is the whistle. This is if you accept increasing traffic flow, you've basically given up on climate change. You said something is more important. Something is co-equal to that. But I don't want to tear down our government. I want to tear down our trust in you, because I'm so afraid that we can't trust you as elected officials. But I'm seeing this. You're falling short here. Please open up the process. Let's have an open discussion of this thing. Please, please, I want to trust you. I want you. This is really important for my kids, that they worth be saving and make a commitment to this thing. So please open up the meeting, the workshop, which I mean, do not decide tonight on these goals. Please open up the workshop so the public can get input on this process. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Are there any other public comments?
I do not have any other requests at this time.
Do we have any other written comments that have been submitted?
Not to my knowledge, Kathy. Has anything else come in during the meeting?
Okay. Very good. I'm assuming the answer is no, or you would have told me. So we'll move on to board comments and questions. And Mr. Frerichs, you've got your hand raised.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. A couple of quick items. If we could have the slides shared again for the presentation. The first question relates to the initial slide. It shows sort of the map. The scope of the project.
I was sharing it right now. Apologies.
Not a problem.
Until the map should be up now.
So the first question is just, I don't believe that there is a proposed new pedestrian / bicycle structure, unless I'm mistaken. So, I mean, that was in the original proposal years ago, but this current version, I don't believe, is proposing a new pedestrian / bike structure. So just curious about that. I mean, I think that the map might be either old or might need to be updated, so that's a question, firstly. And then I have a question and some thoughts around the goals themselves.
And my apologies, you're absolutely correct. And in fact, when this popped up in front of us, I had the exact same thought at the moment this came up, but this is unfortunate that this is an outdated version of the map that does still incorporate that. The language should be different.
No, thanks. I appreciate it. That's helpful. Just wanted to make sure checking in on that. Thank you very much. If you could go to the slide with the actual goals. Thanks so much. So I think a couple quick comments. One, I would say, didn't anticipate. I wasn't sure what the public comment was going to be necessarily this evening from Mr. Hirsch with regard to this issue around sort of traffic flow, but I actually would disagree with that comment somewhat. I have sort of a suggestion for either this current draft goal or a potential new one, and I think it kind of goes to the item that he was talking about in the public comment, which is that I think that there, in this one particularly, the improved traffic flow in the eastbound direction at the Yolo-Solano County line, I think that, you know, I think there needs to be some emphasis placed on addressing sort of bypass traffic that already sort of takes existing traffic off the interstate and sort of directs it through various sort of attempts at shortcuts through the entire system. So, for example, I think the goal is not just really about improving traffic flow eastbound at the Solano County line. I think that either we expand the goal to explicitly mention improved travel time throughout the corridor and at the causeway too, or potentially creating a new goal that focuses on reducing the attractiveness of using local streets and roads in Davis, but also in other communities for regional travel. So, for example, what's happening right now is that if we just simply focus on the traffic flow at the county line, it doesn't quite get at the heart of, I think, what, you know, at least in Davis, we think is the attractiveness of the navigational apps like Waze and others directing travelers to local streets. Like, so Pedrick Road, you know, getting off at Pedrick to Mace, the Tremont to Mace, 113, Highway 113 to Covell Boulevard. We're seeing that quite regularly. And frankly, we're also seeing people use these same apps to bypass this particular backup point to go on 113 North, getting off at Gibson Road in Woodland, and then going north on 102 to Interstate 5, all in attempts to avoid this stretch of freeway in Davis. And so I think that, you know, a potential new goal could state, you know, improve peak hour travel time on eastbound 80 between the Yolo-Solano County line and West Sacramento or the causeway, for example. I think that, one of the issues, and so that to get to the point about the what was mentioned in public comment, you know, this notion that improving traffic flow is a bad thing. You know, the environmentally bad thing is to have people getting off the freeway, having the traffic be backed up so badly on a freeway that people are getting off and driving miles and miles and miles out of their way, and then just sit in congested traffic in other places, such as Gibson Road to 102. I mean, where it just gets completely backed up from, and people are going 10, 15 miles out of their way just to try to avoid this one segment of freeway. Similarly, they're doing the same thing by getting off in, outside of Dixon and coming into onto Mace Boulevard south of Davis and sitting in parking lot backed up traffic for hours and hours. So the environmentally friendly thing to do would be to have the mainline freeway actually be moving, in my opinion, and not creating all this sort of side, road, sort of diversions and having all these cars just clogging up city and local streets and in communities throughout Yolo County. So I do think that the overall goals are, I think, pretty good, but I do think there needs to be an adjustment on this one particularly. Again, either something having to do with improving peak hour travel time on eastbound 80, or it could be some sort of a separate goal. I'm not sure, but just wanted to raise sort of these points this evening for the board's consideration. Thank you.
Next, we'll go to the next comment, but Lucas, I think the particular segment of the Yolo-Solano County line, there's some specific issues around that. The issue you're bringing up is a really good way to think about it. I think that one little choke point there is, I think, deliberately identified.
I think that may be why that clarification around peak hour travel time. I mean, admittedly, there are issues in that segment, the freeway, no question. But, it's not a 24/7 sort of situation there.
Okay. So let's see. Tom, I think, had his hand up next, and then Jesse and then Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also want to thank Lucas for those very perceptive comments. I can only tell you how totally engulfed we get in Woodland now, particularly on Friday nights when that Lake Tahoe traffic is swarming up 80, Waze is sending them up 113, some good off of Gibson Road. Many of them go on to Main Street, which almost is at level of service F at this point, as it almost is locked from bumper to bumper all the way to the freeway. It's a very uncomfortable situation, and these people are going miles out of their way, so we're getting more emissions rather than less. And, you know, I can tell you, my wife and I have almost decided not to go to Sacramento anymore on a Friday evening because we've gotten locked into that traffic. And we once picked up people in Davis, got locked in that traffic, and had to drive back to Woodland to go I-5 to get into downtown Sacramento. I mean, I really appreciate Alan's perspective because I think we all have a strong environmental ethic in this group. But we also have to deal with the real world facts. And that, to me, means people have to get to where they need to go. And hopefully sometime through bus rapid transit and other vehicles, we'll make these alternatives more attractive. But I don't think you do it by intentionally antagonizing others by sticking them in traffic that doesn't move. I just think that's not serving the public. So anyway, I think the goals are fairly reasonable as stated. Perhaps the refinements, as Lucas has suggested, could be made. My basic question, though, at this point of our executive is there any harm in waiting till after our public meeting in January to adopt these goals? I mean, do we have to do that tonight, or can we consider that perhaps at the January meeting, or if it's, you know, or the February meeting in order to do final adoption of these goals?
Thank you for asking the question. Of course, this is the board needs to feel comfortable with these goals before you adopt them. No question. I think the urgency comes from the fact that, the Caltrans has been moving forward. You know, we are in environmental review. We want to be good partners and, you know, not slow this thing down too much. And so, you know, that's where my desire to move expeditiously comes in. However, it is important, you know, to have this conversation and to have it feel that it is inclusive and thorough. So, you know, I leave it to the board to balance those competing priorities.
Well, the other option too is to adopt them if we're sufficiently comfortable tonight, with the understanding that we can amend them after our public session in January. Is that a fair option too?
Of course. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Tom, we can't hear you.
Thanks. Jesse, it's your turn. Thank you, Tom.
What great comments by my colleague, Mr. Stellard, and also Lucas. Thank you. I really like the goals. I like what I have in front of me, and I think moving on them tonight is the right thing to signal to Caltrans that it's not all about their priorities. Yolo County Transportation District also has goals and priorities, and these are what they are. So I would support moving on them, and I like the idea from Tom that if we found something that would need to change, that we could change that at a January meeting. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Jesse. And Matt, you have a comment.
Just jumping in on the same issue here. And I really like how Artemis framed this, with the top line goals being the darker blue, the bottom line to me signifying kind of secondary traffic flow in 2 points, and then a highway management system. In January, when we discuss this more fully, it would be interesting to consider some changes. And instead of phrasing it as traffic flow, we might get more nuanced and start to think of it as people flow and maximizing people per hour and not vehicles per hour. And that might look like alternatives that are more carpool oriented, transit oriented, sort of the kind of alternatives that are more like the top line goals, the bolder, darker goals. So that would be one thing we could start to think about. And we might even get to the point where we think of the top goals as so much the priority that we delete the bottom goals. Maybe those aren't as important for the district. Maybe the district would not have gotten into this project if it was just about traffic flow. I think really it's the transit and the people flow that we're after that efficiency. but it'd be interesting to talk about that in January. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Chris?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. Thanks to all of you for your comments. I do want to just point out one thing that Board Member Ferrick's brought up, which I thought was a really good point, which I really hadn't considered until he brought it up, which is the impact, lessening the impact of the extensive flow we have today, because we get the same sort of overflow traffic coming off of going westbound, coming off 80 over the river, or 50 coming from downtown, folks that are jumping off of Harbor and taking West Capitol out towards the very end to the beginning of to the causeway. There's an immediate impact of that. So I agree with that, how we think about flow. Excuse me, get some background noise. But if there's, I think that's a way to think about it, and if would think about these goals. The other part too is what you know, I think part of at least what I'm after in all of this is certainly this should capture the direction that we want to head. That's the approach where I frame these goals is these are all, to me, you could take our values, which you worked on a couple of years ago, and this is a little sharpening of the lens when we actually got a real project in front of us. I know we talked about this a little bit with Caltrans and SACOG at that meeting. That was the way I thought about them. Like this was, we talked about we want a sustainable a system. We want, we think about climate change. We think about equity. All those things are now manifested themselves in a direct project. Now, the nature to some of my colleagues' questions, we need to be very forthright with the public about this is a finite project in front of us with a certain amount of dollars that we get that are allocated to us to do a certain job. I for one, I want to see us further the actual movement of people, if that's what it's considered, or the movement of people to where they want to go, getting the managed lane to work that furthers moving people to where they need to go faster than they currently do, is being stuck in traffic, is a huge, huge importance. If we can do it, minimizing any amount of impacts to the current VMT situation is a step in the right direction. And we need to take whatever step we can take. I favor the best is the enemy of the good. We need to move this forward, and it's not going to be perfect. We know that this is far cry from what we wanted, and we started getting into this, applying for this grant a few years ago. We wanted this to be a bike ped showcase, that we wanted to be a lot of things, but we can still make progress. And the important part about this, I think, as a board, and I'll ask the board to think about, and the public to think about this. We haven't had this discussion that this board is having about a major arterial system going through Yolo County, and we're talking about at this level is something I haven't, my number of years, we've never done, and it's actually something we can make happen. And these goals point us and point Caltrans and all our partners going forward in the direction we want to go. And I think that's I'm pretty proud of that, and I think we're pretty principled about the need to accomplish this. I think, you know, just looking at the language on the transportation equity, I would remind you, I think there's one of the partners I want to think about that as I want to think about this a little more heading into January, because it's been a while since I've participated in my first couple of years as an elected with the air quality board. And what that means, I think, if I remember, somebody's going to correct me, who is that sits on that? But traffic, the emissions and of cars standing still is far worse than those that are moving. And so I think that's one of the things that I'm cognizant of, because both the major impacts come from two main highways, 80 and 50, cutting through my city, which come through a part of town. That is impacted. It's an LMI community. So again, I think about this is that moving traffic getting moving faster rather than sitting idle in traffic through 50 to get on the causeway is a major climate change issue, but it's also, that's, we need to do everything we can from an equity standpoint. That's a direct impact we have on our community today. And I don't think people understand I stand by the kind of the moving traffic because I think that's something we need to think about. So anyway, just my comments and thank the board for their very thoughtful, comments on this.
I think this is, thanks, Chris. Let's see, Alex, do you have any comments you'd like to make before I make some?
Thank you. I just wanted to thank the board for their comments, and I'm definitely writing down all your feedback and providing it back to the Caltrans team. So appreciate the dialogue. We do appreciate this conversation. We definitely want to have the best project possible. So
thank you. And I think one of the things I want to make sure that we acknowledge is the hard work of the entire Caltrans team on preparing these applications and working with us as we go through these conversations. You know, you're an active partner. We couldn't do any of it, obviously, without your support. And so I'm really, really proud of this partnership that we're building and maintaining here. So I think there's some I really like your comment, Chris, about the – Lucas, I'm sorry. Did you have something you'd like to say before I close?
I was just going to – yeah, very quickly, Mr. Chair. Just wanted to reply or sort of respond. We might be saying the same thing, about to say the same thing, just with regard to Director Ledesma's comments. I was just going to acknowledge that, I've sort of been thinking about the item that I raised and actually from both angles, I mean literally both directions. I think something similar, something along the lines of improving peak hour travel time on Interstate 80 while reducing the use of local streets for regional travel. I mean, it sort of gets at that, sort of the issues in Woodland, it gets at the issues in West Sacramento, gets at the issues in and around Davis. I don't know if that's something that people would find acceptable, but I do think that I also wanted to say, I didn't say this previously, I think I really appreciated Director Dulcich's comments around moving people. I do think they are, and sort of all of that encompasses, it is, I think, somewhat, I think they are separate issues, a bit of separate issues here too. I understand why folks had originally suggested the issue of improving traffic flow in the eastbound direction, particularly the Yellow Solana County line. So I do think that the sort of the discussion around improving travel time on 80, the entire 80, right, both directions, while reducing the use of local streets for regional travel, sort of further gets at what I was trying to sort of get across to everyone. Thanks.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way to capture in a concrete piece of language for a motion that will come in a minute. I do think, though, that there is still a reason to highlight the bottleneck that comes at the Solano-Yola line, even separate from the issue that we're talking about, because it causes a parking lot right there at the university right as they come in. So I think that's okay to conclude as a separate item. So I think one of the things that is really exciting about this all is that we have some other projects that are related to this. The bike crossing on 32A, there is a separate set of funding opportunities in the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act that we can pursue. Similarly, we know that there will be infrastructure funding that will be available for some of the aligned efforts. So I think our focus, Chris, I think as you mentioned, let's make sure we get the core here, the piece that goes across the bypass done. And if we're able to use the existing footprint of that interstate highway across the causeway and have it operate more in a more efficient, state-of-the-art manner, then we will not only be able to not impact the habitat and the environment of the bypass, but we're able to reduce the vehicle impacts all across that road segment. And so I do think that we are looking at improved mobility, and I'm excited about the possibility that we can bring people into the nation's, the capital of the largest state in the nation in a more efficient, more environmentally friendly manner. And by golly, if we as the transit agency working with our transit partners were to have this go forward without improving transit operations across this piece of infrastructure, then we would be totally asleep at the switch. So we have the opportunity to really improve mobility across all modes across this facility without increasing its size overall. So I think it's a really neat opportunity. So Autumn, you've heard comments from us. I know you've been taking notes as individuals have made comments. I think Mr. Frerichs has recommended an additional tweak to the language. Do you think that you could you capture that in the wording that you've got here? I think the other comment from Tom was about an action now that, of course, we could tweak and revisit after our January workshop, but this will give us the marching orders to proceed in the meantime.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, everyone, for those really excellent comments. I think the nuance that you're talking about is very, very helpful to me as we you can continue these conversations. And again, thinking about balancing the need for recognizing the reality of what's happening on our roads, and that traffic flow is important. And at the same time, wanting to make sure that we're doing it in the most responsible way possible. So it's extremely helpful to hear the conversation. In terms of going forward, yeah, I heard the recommendation that I heard from Lucas was improving peak hour travel time on the 80 corridor while reducing the use of local streets for regional travel, you know, to the point that we're not just talking about at the Solano County line. I'm also hearing, though, that it is important to put a pin in the Solano County line issues, and so that maybe we're actually talking about 8 goals instead of 7, one of which is the one that Lucas has proposed, and the other one is work with partners in Solano County, MTC, Caltrans District 4 to ensure improved coordination at that boundary or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that consistent with the board's direction?
Is there a motion to proceed with that modification and to be open to having this come up after our January workshop?
Lauren would move the item.
Sallard will second.
Very good. So we have a motion by Director Lauren, a second by Director Sallard. Is there any further discussion? Okay, let's take roll. Kathy, do you want to take roll?
Sorry, I was having trouble unmuting.
Okay, no problem.
City of Davis?
Aye.
West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
City of Woodland?
Aye.
Yolo County?
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously.
Well, that was a very good conversation, and Chris, I think you're phrasing that this is something that we should be very proud of to be able to have this conversation. And so Alex, do you have your hand up?
Yeah, just a quick question. I just was curious about the next steps in January for the board workshop. Just kind of, I was hoping to get a little bit more feedback, what you're thinking about that.
Sure, I'm happy to share that. So in terms of immediate next steps, we have agreed to have some additional communication with Caltrans over the next few weeks to share these final goals to share these goals with Caltrans and how that informs our thinking on the project currently. And then in the workshop in January, I'm envisioning that we would hear from a couple of experts, potentially from MTC or other agencies, it could be Southern California, with their experience with different types of lane management strategies and some of the practical considerations. So talk about lane management strategies, talk about, and then really hear from the board members about some of their thoughts on specific project elements and what what kinds of things should be included in the scope of the project, with regard to bicycle and pedestrian improvements, with regard to the possibility of a connector lane in West Sacramento, as well as, potential improvements to transit. So really kind of looking at any other elements that the board may bring up and thinking about what is in the scope here. And then again, what are things that are broader goals that maybe fall outside of the scope of this particular project. And then the final piece of that, I would say, is just thinking about funding and how we move expeditiously to, secure funding to kind of make it happen. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it definitely does. Thank you. And I don't know, were you thinking like the same day as like a board meeting or like a different Monday or?
I think my hope is that we could do it at the regularly scheduled board meeting, but we'll have to look at calendars and make sure that works for everyone.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex, for raising those questions. I know that Autumn will answer her phone call too.
Absolutely. We welcome any suggestions as well in terms of what would be helpful at that workshop from any of the board members.
Very good. We're to item 9, the executive director's report. And it's presented. Do you have anything you'd like to highlight for us?
I did want to just highlight the ridership report to just share a little bit about what's happening with ridership trends. And I wanted to actually ask Daisy, who's the one who crunched the numbers, to share a little bit about that.
All right. Good evening, Chair Saylor, members of the board, and members of the public. We've been talking about our fixed route ridership. As of today, we've seen about a 65.5 year-to-date increase in our ridership. Our ridership levels are on track with our normal trends for the winter months. So if you take a look at the month of October, we usually see a peak, and then it tends to drop a little bit in the month of November, as well as December, and then it picks up again January, February. If you can look at the graph, you can kind of see that we're on track with our normal winter trends. And that's likely due to weather time change. For example, today it's rainy. Most of the times our riders don't want to stand in the rain. It's like pouring, super cold, time change gets a little darker. So we usually see a drop in our ridership around these months. So it's on track with our normal pre-COVID numbers. We usually see a dip during the winter months. We've also had discussions with our partners at Unitrans, as well as Davis Community Transit, who have also seen similar trends in ridership, especially the drop for the month of November. But we have been having discussions with them in regards to the data. Next slide, please. Looking at our paratransit and our microtransit ridership, it's also consistent with the previous fiscal year, so we usually have a very consistent ridership. So if you look at our pre-COVID numbers, pretty linear, as well as our this year's fiscal year ridership. We've also seen an increase about 53% year-to-date in ridership. This is good, especially for our paratransit and our microtransit. We want to see it consistent, so that's a plus for us right now in our ridership. And with that, I'll leave it open to any questions.
Thank you very much, Daisy, and thanks for keeping us posted on ridership. And it's interesting to see that we're getting closer to the pre-pandemic routes. Probably some of that Unitrans support is a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Colleagues, any questions for Daisy? Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate your presentation. Oh, Matt has a question.
I did have a late question, and it can be a setup for next month. It's the data, and a year from now when the Unitrans ridership goes away, will we have a way to do apples to apples, or will we not know where we are with ridership? So a year from now, can we cleave out and compare December of 22 compared to December 21, but have the Unitrans data out?
So we do collect.
Right now. Yeah.
Go ahead, Jose.
I was just going to say, we do collect route-by-route information, and we'll be able to separate that. That's a fantastic suggestion, and we'll make note of that, Director Dulcich.
Absolutely.
Very good. Good question.
I would just like to call out Chair Saylor. We do have a request from the public to speak on this item.
Oh, thank you. Very good.
From Mr. Alan Hirsch.
All right. And before we get to public comment, and we will do that, Autumn, did you have any further items that you'd like to pull out of your executive director report?
No, everything is so that the update is consistent with what's in the report. No further comments on it.
And colleagues, we'll listen. Alan, I'm going to hold on because you may have comment on other topics as well if anyone asks for them to come off. Does anyone have any other items that you'd like to comment on from the executive director report? I don't see any hands, so we'll move on.
Tom
is raising his hand.
Sorry, Don. I just wanted to mention that I've been a long-time participant of the Clean Air Partnership, and the topic at our last Clean Air Partnership was the Interstate 80 corridor, and there were two presenters, major presenters, and our executive director, Autumn Bernstein, was one of them, and I thought did an excellent job of laying out options and comparing things happening in other jurisdictions where she's worked in the past. So there's a lot of regional attention given to this, and I think sharing the information widely is a great idea. I think in terms of those who are very concerned about environmental impacts, would be very pleased to hear the kind of concerns that were expressed at the Clean Air Partnership. I would just like to say that I am concerned about what kind of bikeway we end up with when this is all done. I have no idea what ridership numbers are across the causeway on bicycles, but my one experience doing it was a very unpleasant experience. And while it may not be financially feasible to do an independent bike route off the causeway, I posited the possibility that we could suspend it between the columns beneath the freeway. At least you would be shaded and it would be away from the noise and so much of the exhaust we experience in the existing situation. So I'm just kind of putting that out there because I think it's important going forward if we want to encourage active transportation.
Anything else on the executive director's report, Tom?
No, Don, that's it.
Thank you very much. We'll go to Alan Hirsch for a 3-minute public comment. Alan?
Thank you very much. I just want to note administratively.
Can you speak up, Alan? Sure. In some way, make the volume.
Is this better? Is this better?
Yes. Thank you.
Very good. I just want to note that in the past, we had long-range calendar on the agenda, part of the executive director's report. So the public, as well as we could see the what was the long-range plan for this board has spent this precious time, and also the public know what was possibly going to happen ahead, with not just 2 days before, 2 working days before the agenda was released. So I urge that long-range calendar be added back to the agenda and maybe the executive report, so we have to see what's going on in the cycle and what's happening in your strategic plan for the district. Thank you very much. I hope that's helpful.
Thanks, Alan. It is, and we do have a habit of having a long-range calendar on the agenda, and I think we'll get back to that. Very good. Anything further, Autumn?
Nothing further from me, Mr. Chair, and agree that is something that around the long-range calendar, that's something that would be good to bring back.
Okay, very good. Thank you, everyone, and I think that's it for the day, and I think in terms of Mr. Stollard's interest in some sort of bike route or path. I think that not only this project that we've talked about tonight, but our trails master plan allows for ample conversation about that. So let's go and advance this cause and purpose in every venue we find ourselves in. Thank you, everybody, and see you next month.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.